Don't be rank or get the skeeves, because tonight is gonna be plush. We saw the sleepover, so you know what that means. Home to talk about a movie that I didn't really know existed until just a mere few hours ago. The film is called Sleepover. It's in the early 2000s, and it is about a bunch of girls who are getting out of middle school, getting to go to high school, and it's kind of like Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and it's kind of not. And frankly, I don't know anyone's names, and I'm confused by a lot of the big things that happen in this film. Normally, I would try to break it down for you, and as I started to, I'm just like, no, I give up. And I'll save that for my co-host. So please welcome to the stage my co-host, Mr. Jason Manzoukas!
What's up, jerks? Here we go! I'm thrilled to be here, Paul, to be talking about a movie that I suspect I'm on a watch list for having watched. What is this movie? I'm sorry, is this a teen sex comedy set in junior high school?
This movie checks a lot of boxes.
And I don't think we can say checks a lot of boxes. This was chilling. The number of times I wrote in this movie, in my notes, am I allowed to be watching this? I closed the curtains in my house this afternoon to be like, I hope nobody sees that I'm watching a kid porno. This is a movie about grooming.
Listen,
is this movie for kids or predators?
It's also a movie about finding yourself and getting your own voice.
Finding yourself on a date with your teacher from junior high. Junior high.
We are gonna break it all down. Don't worry about it. As the tagline says, the rules are set and the game is on. I found myself disturbed so many times in this movie, and one of the biggest regrets I had was that I didn't get to watch it with my other co-host. Please welcome to the stage, Miss June Diane Raphael. Welcome, June.
Now, Paul, I gotta tell you, yes, this movie, there were so many concerning things about this
movie.
Were
there?
Yes, but if you don't think I cried.
Okay.
When? June?
You don't think I cried.
June, I am with you.
Okay.
Not only did I cry, my notes are, why am I crying? Why am I crying
watching these children
be preyed upon?
I lost it. I'll tell you when I
felt like the biggest dagger into my heart was when that teacher said, hey, I may not be good looking, but I got a good wit.
Oh, you mean when he was trying to seduce a 14-year-old?
He didn't know. He was
police. He didn't know it was his student because she was wearing sunglasses? You're a bad teacher. You should be able to recognize your students in sunglasses. What?
Well, look, we have
Come on, Johnny Sneed.
We got a lot to break down, and we have a very special guest. I love when we have this guest, because this guest truly is a historic guest, because he is the first guest we ever had
here
on the program.
Audible gasps.
Yeah. Co-creator, star of shows like The Kroll Show, Big Mouth, The History of the World Part 2, and right now, you can be watching his amazing show, Human Resources, on Netflix. Please welcome Nick Kroll! Welcome, Nick. Welcome back. Wow. So, we made you watch this movie.
I was so excited. I've done the show. I think I'm on maybe the first episode of this
show.
You are on the first episode.
Film called Burlesque.
That's right. And
I've been on the show throughout. Yep. Always excited. Got the JPEG for this one.
I sent it to you, and I was like, here we go.
I will say, we were at dinner last night, and you said, what is this movie we're watching?
By the way, is the font for this movie the same font as Clueless?
This movie is trying to trick you into thinking it's a different movie.
Yes.
Constantly. It's also, at one point, they're driving through town, and the movie playing at the movie theater is Legally Blonde, which is another movie I think this movie wants to be.
Oh, this movie wants to be a lot of movies. And what it is disturbing. And it's a weird movie because there's so many things.
I'm just looking at my notes and they're fucking nuts.
I have a whole thing that I want to pull out.
Paul, these children are 14 years old. These are junior high. This is
graduating junior high.
I agree. I don't want to take this position right now with Nick, but I have to. Like, they are heading into ninth grade.
But
and I want you.
They're not there yet.
I know they're not, but I want you to accept.
In 2004, June.
I want you to accept these blooming young women.
I'm blooming. Can I get a lock on my door?
Yeah.
I wrote down blooming question mark.
I want to just go out on a limb and say this. I can't tell you how any of these women are different from each other at all. They don't seem like they really
these
have
girls?
Any, these girls.
They, we have to say girls because they are 13 and 14
years awkward.
Old.
I feel
Jason,
too awkward.
They're young
girls.
Women.
This
they're
is
young
a sex
women.
Comedy starring tweens.
Thank you.
All right. So I
they're
can't,
young women.
For, that's the biggest problem with this movie is I can't tell who is what age. Who is who? I rewound this movie more than like a hard sci-fi.
And
like,
I have to tell you,
what
Paul,
did I miss?
You really, because so when I saw Paul watching on Tubi, I walked by his office and I said, what do you think? Because I was a little bit ahead. And he goes, I can't tell who any of them are.
They and all I look do, alike. They're all
they
blonde.
Don't, they except don't, for the redhead. Paul. They don't all look alike. They don't. And I found it very disturbing that you couldn't tell one from the other. I'm not saying they're all fully fleshed out characters. Of course they're not, but they are different. And I didn't struggle.
Here's what and that I would credit with the hair department.
and wardrobe.
Wardrobe, hair and wardrobe. Well. Because you've got, and I do want to just talk about her hair.
Yes.
A lot.
Sure.
Because so there's a lot of looks.
Leads
there's
hair.
The leads hair. There's a lot of looks.
Julie Corky.
I mean, Julie Corky.
Can we just, she's quirky. She's Julie. She's quirky. Let's.
She's got Jane hair. Lynch as a mom and Jeff Garland as a dad. Imagine that fuck sesh.
It looks like the number 10.
Uh,
listen, not to jump to the very end, but just to talk through her hair.
Spoilers.
Yeah. Major spoiler alert. Yeah. To talk through her hair journey, because this happens a lot in movies with women, which is their hair is going to tell us the story.
Yes.
And we're going to look to their hair to understand who they are in the world and how relaxed they are, how uptight they are. Their hair will tell us that. And she goes to sleep the night of the sleepover with curly hair. And she wakes up the next morning and sleep has straightened it out.
She's got...
And blown
she's
it up.
Gotten a sleep blowout.
And she is now a woman.
My thought is...
And at the end of the movie, as if she's gone through some rite of passage, she is dressed and styled differently, like she's now a woman, which is bizarre. The movie is... The movie is very uncomfortable.
I'm going to say something, though, and I of course, there's so many insane things, and this movie is fatphobic, and it's horrible and for so many reasons, but there are moments in this movie that I really related to, and just to talk about the scene between Jane Lynch and our lead, because there were moments when this our lead character, Julie Quirky, of course, reminded me of a younger Jennifer Grey.
Quirky.
She's quirky, but her name is Quirky.
Quirky. There were moments when her mom said, "You're on the bridge between ladybugs and boys," and gave her a lock to both give her a chance. Give her a chance to sort of separate, but to also be
Julie
free
says,
and to be
I'm
closer.
I'm on
to her.
The bridge, which is lovely.
Oh, well, that's lovely. And but then Jane Lynch says, what does she say?
Well, Jane Lynch is, it's in that scene where she's giving
her the lock.
And I feel like you were into magic and this girl, and now maybe boys and this and that. And Julie kindly says, I think I'm still on the bridge. Because Jane Lynch, I think, is suggesting
she's
you've
over
already
the bridge.
Gotten to, I maybe missed
I
this.
Truly have never seen that moment in a movie or TV represented of a young woman understanding about herself that she's in between. And I thought it was...
And they saved
say,
it for the last 30 seconds.
Yeah, I thought it was
and they
absolutely
really let you
stunning.
Sit in it and
said, also
here's
where
the fun
I cried.
Hysterically.
This is also where I cried. So I am very... I
cried.
Why am I crying at this ending? Question mark.
I cried a lot. I cried when the best friends when they have their last conversation. When
I did totally too. Cried.
When the
I
best friend, I wrote it down. When the best friend says you're ready for high school, and she says that's because of you.
I got a little choked up.
And then they say, don't forget.
But
don't
why?
Forget.
But wait. This is what I don't understand too. It is the last day of junior high. And that friend is moving.
The next day.
Well, it's not based on her schedule. The job in Seattle starts in 2 weeks. They pushed it back so she could finish her fucking year.
Dad's got to go work at Boeing or whatever.
Yeah.
But by the way, they truly do drop so much info at the beginning of this movie where I'm like, I rewound it to be like, because this the girl that seems
but this
to
is
be,
why you rewound it?
Okay, so the friend that seems to be older, who's in the car with the boyfriend,
Stacy,
a blowout, almost like a Heather Thomas kind of.
Yeah, okay. She had like a very 70s hairstyle.
Totally, she was giving me real like bitchy Rory Gilmore vibes.
Yes,
absolutely.
So much so that for the first second, I was like, "Wait, is that Alexis Bledel?" And I was like, "It's not." But spoiler alert, it is Brie Larson in this movie.
And
friend of the pod, Brie, great job.
I will say this. When I'm getting into a how did this get made movie, normally the first 4 minutes is just like, just feeling the water
settling
out, just
in.
Seeing what's going on. But they're dropping major plot points that I am not capable of digesting because I don't even know the characters yet.
Well,
I'm like, you're the same age? Okay, but you look like you're way older. And then I had to remind myself, wait, they're stealing a car, but... They're in junior high. They're not even close to a license.
It's also a right driving smart car.
Yeah.
I was like, what is this?
There is a dance that is happening simultaneously to the cool girls having a fun party that's written like a serial killer's font.
Yes.
Like They, somebody was carving out of Cosmo magazines these empires.
I've got your children. They're all at this sleepover tonight.
It was also odd that whatever dance the high school is having is not the prom.
No, it's the last day of school dance.
It's just a last day of school dance?
You would think it was because of time of year, because of
everything.
Because there was a king and queen?
Yeah.
But it is not.
But yet, it's not their dance, because they're junior high. So you got
their
a high school
children.
Dance. You got a high school dance, you got a cool girls party, and you got the nerd sleepover. And then you also got the dudes, the SpongeBob and that crew, and I think they're also having a scavenger hunt as well.
Then you've got Steve the Hunk, who is not just the archetype of, but the, like, almost literal physical representation of Jake Ryan from 16
Looks
Candles.
Exactly like him.
Wait, 16 Candles are pretty
big. 16 Candles.
I was like, "What? This is a little on the nose."
I thought he was great, though.
Jake Ryan, full blown.
Here's what I couldn't understand: why did I also have to say I loved the storyline of like Stacy had. I wish they developed it a bit more, but Stacy had been a friend of Julie's at one point, and then. For whatever reason,
not a moment. She shows not a moment of recognition of that friendship.
I know, but here's my question about Stacy, because we get to know a little bit about her, and I think why she decides to reroute the night. But why would she ever risk? Because the stakes of this movie are that when they head into their freshman year and head into high school, it's really important that the sort of class dynamics are clear at lunchtime. And if they're sitting by the fountain, it means they're cool kids. And if they're sitting by the dumpster, it means they're not.
Yeah.
Dumpster kids.
They're dumpster.
Can I just say, this is generationally impactful.
Yes.
But by the way, I also want to just say, I just want to just point out one quick thing. Again, we're seeing the theme of dumpster in high school with that movie Wish Upon. Mm-hmm. They, remember, there was like the dad was jumping
in. Did we
do it? What?
Did we do it?
Yeah, the Wish Upon, the girl with the box, Joey King with the box.
How do you remember these movies?
And the dad was jumping into...
Yes, Ryan Phillippe was jumping
into dumpsters in front of his kids while they were eating lunch.
Oh,
and their
yeah,
dad.
I do remember that.
So, like, I didn't understand that dumpsters played such a large part in the high school lunch.
What about absolutely mediocre fountains? As is the coveted spot, which we all know incoming freshmen control.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And that fucking fountain.
That's what I kept on wanting to say was, why do you all think you get to choose this spot? It's going to be decided for you.
The victory at the end is preposterous. Like,
by the way, the
lesson learned should have been the fountain is within. Wherever we are, where we should be.
They'd already invested $150 to build that piece of shit fucking fountain.
But I will say, one of the most laugh-out-loud moments was the last scene where the guy pours trash in the dumpster on Stacy. She gets up and runs away.
Okay, but here's my question. If you're Stacy...
The cool
kid. If you're Stacy, the cool kid, and... See, and this is what I wonder, I'd like to propose. Because I kept on wondering, why would Stacy risk her spot at the fountain? Yeah. Why is she engaging in this
scavenger hunt? Because she's so off balance from having the negative experience
ADR.
With what's the guy? What's
Doug, the JV quarterback?
Yes. What's his name? Can somebody out here tell me what it is? Todd.
Todd.
Thank you. So Todd?
Yeah.
I'm saying Todd, and you guys are still yelling.
No, it is Todd.
Because you're saying it like someone from Massachusetts.
Todd. Oh my God.
Todd.
Oh my God. Todd is fucking by the dumpster.
By the way,
Todd tried to finger me in his car.
Todd's driving a convertible and openly sexually assaulting a 14-year-old.
Oh, that's Todd.
In a public park that is fully lit.
Okay.
He's driving on the grass. It's like the town is like Stars Hollow. The only police presence is Steve Carell?
Yeah. You know what that made me feel like? And I don't want to jump. I don't know if you had a point.
Please.
Seeing Steve Carell in that movie and seeing almost every adult in that movie, you're just like, man, people need gigs.
Yeah.
Nick. Actually, that's why I found like, this movie to be affirming. I was like, you know, I've taken jobs, I've done things.
By the way,
like Steve Carell had probably shot 40-year-old virgin. Yes. It had not come out yet.
Yep.
Right, yes. So he's just like, they're giving me a fucking, I'm going to be in a movie. I'm going to be on the lot.
Working actors, just working.
And by the way, he's funny.
Oh, he's very funny.
Funny, and he does a lot with that job. I'm going to say, better than Paul Mallcop. You know, I enjoy.
Savage takedown. I'm shocked you are brave enough to say that, Paul.
Look, America might disagree with the huge shit of Paul Blart Mall Cop, over $100 million at the box office.
Right.
Okay, here's what I want to understand. So Stacey, so here's my theory about why Stacey wanted to do that scavenger hunt. I think there is a part of Stacey after that, after her assault.
Yes.
You know, no other way to say it.
Assault
no other way to, no way to get around
that,
it.
That her boyfriend just seemingly drove onto the center of. And yes. I just want to just.
Like, I believe she is like, so.
Look at, there are people. There are people.
So well lit.
One, two, there's six lights and people walking.
He is in the center of the town square. He drove up on the lawn.
Like, this is not where you take someone if you're Todd and you're trying to finger someone in your car. And he's in his cutoff tee. This is ridiculous.
Well,
I think what happened to Stacey here is I think she thought she could kind of hang and that she was.
It's too much.
She's still on the bridge.
It was too much. And, that's right. Yeah. I think she realized I'm on the
bridge. She thought she was over the bridge. Yeah. She's still on the bridge.
I'm on the bridge and I need to return to fun and that sleepover that I was supposed to be at.
Yeah, it turns out she wasn't on the bridge, but instead a full grass parked in a car.
It felt to me, because it's a heartbreaking scene, and especially once you, at the end of the movie, realize Todd had no interest in bringing Stacey to the dance because he has another girlfriend
for 6 months
who he's going to the dance with.
He was just going to basically fuck her and then get dressed and then go to the dance with his real girlfriend. So he's not even creating a romantic night. It's really just like, hey, let's pull off on the side of the road, this park.
I desperately wanted Stacey to. I feel like Stacey's moment of recognition or realizing that she's done wrong is had with SpongeBob.
Yes.
In the dance sequence rather than with Julie Quirky. Right.
Yes, because SpongeBob represents fun and lightness, and that's the guy she should be with, even though he was in a coma. And when they say at the beginning of the movie is a lot of ripping, as Gene said, fatphobic and things of that nature, but they go, he goes, I was in a coma. And they go, you were barely in a coma. Anyone who says I was in a coma, let them have that win.
Can we?
Let them have that. Barely, like, and he's like.
And I love when Stacey at the end, he's like, you want to see a picture of me in a coma? And she's like, yeah.
I do.
And he shows her and she's like, that's cool. And he's like, but now I have this picture and that's better than the one of me in a coma.
He put it in his wallet.
And that's sweet. That's a moment I loved about this, because it's two 14-year-olds having a truly difficult time coming of age, which is what this movie is about.
And what I love.
Here's a note I wrote. Here are words I wish I wasn't typing. This movie has too much 13-year-old foot content.
Oh.
I just want to say, while we're on. You're not wrong.
Oh, I'm not wrong, because every girl gets foot close-ups.
It's
not interesting.
Well, because it was also, they were shooting it as a double for a proof of concept for Tarantino Babies.
I will just say this. That moment at the end got me, where he did replace his coma picture with the picture of them, because, alive, aren't Polaroid stick cameras the best?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you could just get a picture. And Polaroid stick cameras. You know, you can get them at Old Navy.
This feels like an ad.
No, it just seems like so naturally. Polaroid stick cameras, they're great. When they laid down, and remember, take a picture of it on your Polaroid stick camera.
Can we just talk about SpongeBob really quick?
Yeah.
And his crew there.
And that crew. And I...
Were you part of that crew? Was that like your kind of crew?
I was not. I wish I were part of that that crew of skateboarder kids, you know. I say this, and I have not done the pod in a while, so I don't know where we are. I hated his performance.
Wow.
I really hated it, and I was like, who's this fucking bozo doing this impression of a person doing an impression of Jim Carrey? I fucking hate this performance. Where did this bozo end up? And then I went over to Cast and saw that this guy is going to win an Emmy for Dahmer and has become one of the most sought-after actors of our generation.
Bold choices never
this
fail.
This is where it began. You can see the Dahmer in there.
There are multiple award winners in this cast. We have an Oscar winner, and we have Brie Larson won an Oscar for Best Actress.
This movie. It would be funny, though, if SpongeBob's you're going through his wallet and he's just like a bunch of pictures of like severed hands. Sorry.
SpongeBob, what's that smell, SpongeBob? SpongeBob. I want to pull this up, and I feel we can refer to it throughout the show. I think it's right here. Okay, so this is just something I started to put together. Sleepover timeline. I wanted to start to figure out the timeline of this movie.
Can we just... Paul?
Yeah.
Did you make this?
Yeah, I made this.
That's... June, do you need a lawyer?
So I've made a timeline here. So 7 p.m., we know is Liz's summer blowout. Then 7-ish...
This is like... I'm sorry to interrupt you, Paul. This is like if Paul wrote a screenwriting book and was like, I'm going to use this as the example. This is how you break down a script. Oh.
Then we know that Julie starts around 7-ish. Julie's mom leaves at 7-ish. So then we see a giant montage of the sleepover. And I'm going to say that that's 90 minutes because we see multiple nail paintings. We see a bra freezing. I'm going to guess that the bra would need about 40 minutes to freeze.
At least.
Again,
depending
I'm so
on material and
I couldn't be
freezer
more uncomfortable
size.
How many preteen girl bras I saw in this movie.
And thongs.
I mean,
I'm gonna guess, tell me if I'm wrong here, because I need your help here. I'm going to guess at 8 o'clock the dance starts. That seems about right to me. And we know that the dance is going to end at midnight. That we do know.
Okay.
Now.
Then it's just a ticking clock.
Just for the listener at home, there is a line in this breakdown that Paul wrote that says, parenthetically, most Old Navy close at least 9 p.m. That's the T-shirt. That's the T-shirt. No. No!
I put it
Do
back.
Do not fix it. Most Old Navy close at
you
least
guys,
9
p.m. But Jason, I don't want to lift the curtain too much on all the show and how it works, but Paul does have an old Russian man who writes all of these notes. Most Old Navy close at least 9 p.m.
Dumpster table is not good.
So I want to just quickly hit a couple more of these things. We know that our popular girl, she is waiting for a boyfriend. I'm assuming he's about 30 minutes late because she's a little bit upset. She gets driven and dumped. Yeah.
Stacey. Can I just quickly say, whatever you want to say about Todd and the actor playing Todd, he stops perfectly in front of her.
Good stop.
Like it's a great stop. And this is... Having driven cars, you know how you drive a car in a scene and you're like, and they're like, all right, and just stop right here. And you're like, and they're like, can you do it again? But fucking hit the fucking mark. You know what I mean? I just want to give Todd some props. He fucking nails the stop.
In a wide.
It's like, she's waiting, bam, right there. She's in, they're out.
I think it's
out.
Because it's a convertible. I think he had better view.
View of like the weird chalk
there
mark where the tire needed.
There is nothing better than a stunt coordinator complimenting you on your ability to do something as mundane as stop in the right spot.
And this
You're
is
like, I did it?
And this is where I should reveal I was the stunt coordinator on Sleepover.
You did a great job.
So cool.
I was in charge of the treehouse falling.
I just love the idea that Paul is writing in a document 7 to 8:30 p.m. nail painting, bra freezing, and dance party. This is aspirational for Paul Scheer.
And now, Paul, must delete this afterward and drag it over to trash. You must delete it.
Well, now I want to show you something, though, okay?
9 p.m., girls.
I'm not even to the crux of my argument yet.
Okay.
So we assume that the driving and dump is 8:30. The noise complaint, 8:35, because she calls Julie moments after the noise complaint happens, and then I'm going to say that then Stacy gets there at 8:40, and the hunt is announced, at which point Stacy says the hunt begins at 8. But, Judge, look at this. When you look at their files, and you look at their this, you can see
what
on the
happening?
AOL page, the messages are at 9:12, 9:13, 9:14 p.m. So that means they face chatted in the nines, which means...
This is chilling.
Paul, stop.
This is, like, very upsetting.
Now, if they did that in the nines...
How dialed in you are? Paul's never been more alive.
I know.
If they did that in the nines, most Old Navies are already closed.
Why do
and
you
I'm
know
going to
that?
Assume that the food courts in the malls are also closed. So now
and
we
then
have a
dude take shower. Dude take shower.
Can we talk about the shower real quick? Have you ever taken your shirt off two hands at a time?
Never.
Do you know that thing where there's like
it was what? Sexy.
Here's what I'll say. I've never taken a shirt off from the top.
Yes.
I exclusively am from the bottom off. I don't do a tug it off.
I thought
now,
you...
if you knew someone was behind you watching.
You think he knows?
No way.
You think he knows he's being
peaked? He knew.
This movie... situational awareness of the people in this movie, multiple times people have other people hiding like 2 feet away from them,
yes.
Like breathing on them, and they don't notice.
Oh, not only that, most of Jeff Garland's home is destroyed around
yes.
him, and he is oblivious.
Well,
he's
so working
focused on,
the new...
on in installing a water filter that the complete destruction of his... arbor or his whatever that is, gazebo,
Casita,
whatever that is.
I don't know.
It goes unnoticed, as
here's
does
what,
the tree fort collapsing onto the house.
But this is what I loved about Jane Lynch as a mom. And I actually resented Julie thinking her mom was such a square. Like her, those slumber party rules, Paul, we didn't see when the slumber party rules.
I have slumber party rules.
They're not up on the timeline.
Well, I mean, okay,
but when
yeah.
the slumber Scavenger. Party... The summer party rules are announced. Like she really just wants to. She doesn't want to see any structural damage to the house, is what she says. Which I found to be amazing.
With these nerds, like, that's there's no chance. These nerds are not going to do any structural damage. She's not even having a party. She's having four girls over, one which she didn't even want, who's not even on the fucking poster. The girl,
that's
the whole
right.
of the movie is
justice
that's
for
what's heartbreaking
Yancy.
Is Stacy's on this
Yancy.
Poster and not Yancy.
That's
a crime.
That's
Yancy
up.
Is a little larger than the other girls, and she isn't invited, and she's invited as like a guilt invite.
Which is never then addressed.
No.
They never have a moment. Yancy finds out she's like a second choice because Stacy bailed, and then she's very hurt by that. But because she gets an adult man speaker boyfriend, again, Yancy ends up with a boyfriend who's an adult man.
No, I think
no,
he's
no,
in
he's
high
a
school.
Kid.
I think
he
he's
works
a high
for
school.
The speaker company.
And
just for the
job.
Summer. Just for the summer.
To make a little extra cash.
The summer that
Come
started.
On.
The summer that started immediately
and
as
we
school
know,
ended.
And
she
we know.
Is 14.
Jason, as soon as people run into a hallway and throw papers in the air,
yeah.
that means it's summer. Eighth grade's done. It's
They're
a
adults.
Whole new ball game.
I mean, Yancy washed off that tan pretty quick, and that would have been a funny bit throughout the whole movie.
Of like, the rationale of like, would you rather have celery or a brownie? She's like, well, a brownie. And she's like, well, just find somebody who also wants a brownie. I was like, wait, what? But is this what we're doing?
At first, I was feeling like really terribly for Yancey, and I was like, wow, the only thing they're going to give this character and this actress is that she's fat. That's it. She's just obsessed with being, they show her no humanity. It is absolutely terrible. However, if I have to choose a character to play of the four girls, I think I'm choosing Yancey over the redheaded girl who had no character.
Like, zero. There's.
Like, why was she there?
And a second ago, I'm being yelled at for being said that I don't understand these characters. Yeah.
Well, I knew who they were, though, Paul. I knew who they were. I wasn't confusing Yancey for Barrette.
They don't have any personality.
I know Yancey, and I know what she's up to, but Barrette has no bearing on my entire
experience. And I do, by the way, I think that sometimes happens with redheads, where they're like, you know what? They're redheads.
Here she goes.
And that's enough.
This is back in dangerous territory. Not since David Caruso.
This is not my point of view. I'm saying I think the world.
Ginger erasure?
I think the world assumes you're a redhead, and that's personality enough.
I want to talk about the date because I don't want to get too far away from it.
Wait, which date?
I want to talk about the whole thing. Going on date safe. The police approved.
Here's the thing, and I don't know, because maybe I made a mistake, but I'm on datesafe.com. And I'm trying to find love. And it says I'm handsome and police approved.
So DateSafe is a website in which the police inspect each person that you date. Now, I have a feeling this is a network note, a studio note. Like, oh, so then the girls will go like on a internet dating. Well, yeah, but we can't have a 14-year-old do it. Oh, but what if it's police approved? Done. Okay, so the guy she's gonna meet is approved by the police? Yes. Okay, well then it's not that creepy. It can't be like a pedophile.
Imagine how that works. The application goes to the police, and we're trusting the police to vouch for the guy.
I'm working overtime stamping these applications. He says he likes photography so far. I haven't seen anything to prove that. Denied. You know?
This shit blew my mind. Because
but meanwhile,
this is where
But
what people don't know is they cut a scene where you then go to Sting and he is checking out each of these people.
It's him,
Stuart Copeland, yeah. And Andy Summers.
And the other guy. That's why they broke up.
Yeah.
The whole issue I
was
do
that
have
whether Mr. Corrado was ready to was to be approved.
Holy
By
shit.
By the way, Mr. Corrado was so much hotter before the makeover. I was like, let Mr. Corrado be Mr. Corrado.
Well, Mr. Corrado had the thing that often is done to young girls in movies like this, where they take off his glasses and muss up his hair, and all of a sudden he's a sexy dude.
This movie has multiple 8-second makeovers. Multiple makeovers that take place in a second. And that's one of them. And the other one is when they rip Julie's sleeves off, where she's like, I look like my mom. And they're like, wait a minute. Rip.
They tailor a dress faster than the mice in Cinderella. And why is the patrolman even after them? Like, well, the patrolman seems like... I mean,
noise complaints.
Steve Carell?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, for various.
Right. Like he's upset that they're making noise. He should be patrolling the neighborhood. He's taking a break at a mall. But even if they were in the mall kiosk, that's not his duty. That's a mall guard.
The mannequin
that's
mall
That's Paul
shit.
Blart mall cop's job.
The mannequin mall shit with Carell, where they're just... They keep... And it's to the Jay Giles band Freeze Frame. And it's a cover of that song because I think Peter Wolf and Jay Giles band were like, we don't want to, no thank you. That was also like, this movie has real silly comedy, broad comedy beats to it that work, I think.
Can I pay the redhead a compliment?
Go.
When she had to pose as a mannequin and be fully dead-eyed,
I thought
she nailed it.
She did.
You know what?
Whatever she was doing to her eyes, that was good direct. They got the great.
Now, would you believe me if I told you that was Jessica Chastain?
I only
she was
bring
the best
up,
mannequin of the bunch. Yep.
I only For bring sure. up Steve Carell because when these girls go to this club and they somehow take a giant speaker out of a case and leave it somewhere that no one notices it to get in the speaker case again that transported into the theater. He's nowhere to be seen. That would have been the spot. Oh, I guess he's locked in the Old Navy closet at that point?
Mm-hmm. Who knows?
I got to put that in my document.
You think he's...
He was putting himself on tape for Little Miss Sunshine, and so they were like, he's unavail. Sorry, what were you saying, Jim?
Paul, you think that Steve Carell is also patrolling the high school?
No, but he's after these girls, right?
So he's like, I see what noise you're saying. Complaint, so you think he's looking catch
he's
for
also
them.
He's also at Steve's house because Stacy and the popular girls call in and there's a suspicious person at Steve's house.
Todd's when house.
Steve's house when she's trying to steal...
Oh,
when
Steve,
Julie is in the shower trying to steal the boxer
shorts. Of course.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
So I'm just
why do I
that
know this movie so well?
I got this timeline down pat.
That in and of itself is a red flag.
we are going to assume that Steve Carell is out of commission from at least 9:30 to 10:30. I'm going to imagine that's if we're going to.
And there is no other law enforcement in this entire town.
I was so happy that the bartender was like, wait a second, you're young. Like, thank God someone recognized children. This movie does not recognize children.
It's also a scathing indictment of the teacher that he does not recognize his own student simply because she's wearing sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
That's embarrassing.
But then posing for
saying,
an incriminating...
But he's then, saying, you're a swimsuit model to a 14-year-old student?
By the way, she had the best comeback. He's like, what's that like? And she said, it's cold. Great joke.
It's funny. Genuinely
but,
funny.
But then
funny.
Poses for...
I wrote... This is what I wrote in my notes. This movie is really going out of its way to make you understand how it's possible to date a 14-year-old.
With
it really
plausible
walks you
deniability.
Through.
He poses for an incriminating picture. He now knows
here's
14.
Here's
what I will
fired.
Say is they do look happy. And
me too.
And like,
I wanted him to get together with her mom.
Oh.
I was like, wouldn't it be great if Jane Lynch and Johnny Sneed
and
have
they just
a moment.
Like make Garland into a fucking cuck?
I would have loved to have seen a whole movie.
And Garland's into it.
Yeah.
Hey, look at this. Great. Hey, Rosemary.
I did not like the sexualization of Jeff Garland's ass. By the way, I do think it was a butt double. I do think his crack was a butt double.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah. What would you say about
Jane? I was just saying I'd love to see a whole movie about Jane Lynch's night.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Bad Moms.
What a great movie that would be. Like an answer movie. This is the kids movie and this is the... Oh, I love that.
Yeah, because again, I want to know when she bought that lock. Was
Who
it out that
friends?
Night? Who were those women
and
at first?
Make it a connection that's like her group of girlfriends are analogous to her daughter's group of
love
friends.
It.
What
I
are
like
they
that.
Going
for? Love it.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I like a lot of these pitches.
Should we
and
write
Ben,
it?
I'll make a timeline for it and I'll put it up there. But eventually, the again, the dance ends at midnight, and I guess we're going to say like around 11:45 is when they're going to be giving out the awards, which also seems, from the schedule of the night, it just seems pretty rough. But no one's going to this dance on time at all. That guy is not even showered and ready. He's playing pool in a giant-ass mansion, it seems like. He's like Bruce Wayne. And she sees his dick, right? She definitely sees his dick.
No, she sees his butt.
Okay.
I think she sees his dick.
But you think so?
Yeah,
well, it's
I
his
think...
butt, but then you can see his fucking dick hanging through.
Oh, I think...
No, I think what happens...
And then his dick takes off a t-shirt.
Again, this is... We're talking about a child's dick. Go ahead.
He's a high schooler. He's
Wait, is he in high school?
He's in high school.
Oh, he is?
He's in high school.
Yeah, they went to elementary school together.
He's
but
in
he's
in high school. I sort of remember
the moment where she skateboards past his car.
I loved it. I loved it.
And is like an incredible skateboarder. I was like, yes, give me this all day.
By the way, but why didn't we see that? When Jane Lynch is saying, oh, you know, I miss the days of ladybugs and you know, princesses and all this stuff. I'm like, well, actually, your daughter seems to be into skateboarding and basketball. And that's still childlike and cool, and we never got to see that. I'm like, that would be awesome to have seen her playing basketball, to have seen her skateboarding. She didn't seem to care about skateboarding at all.
It was just a means to get home as quick as possible,
exactly.
Even though she's doing
transportation.
Next level tricks.
She's so good.
Well,
she
guys,
jumps
she's so good.
A Marmaduke. She jumps a Marmaduke.
Is this in the MCU?
Like,
is this in the MCU, the Marmaduke cinematic universe? I will say this. There's a moment when the hot high school guy looks at her yearbook, looks at this picture of her, yeah. Julie Corky, and goes, wow, she turned out pretty good. And he's looking at it, like, and her things are drama club, basketball, debate team, hobbies, hot dogs.
Funny.
Skateboarding
I
and nap.
When
cool
I hear
girl.
She turned out pretty good, I think he's seeing like those hobbies, that whole vibe, and he's like, fuck yeah, dude, she's into
it.
Skateboarding, she's into hot dogs.
I don't want to yuck anyone's yum, but I want to just talk about this scene right here. So Julie breaks into the hot guy's house, right? She's looking around. She's in her little dress, and then she sees his skateboard. He's a skateboarder.
Yeah.
And then finds a shoe, puts it to her nose, and smells the sweet
and
juice.
Smiles!
This guy.
That's the most truthful moment in the movie.
Now, here's my question about Julie's brother. I want to just
The college dropout.
The college
who
dropout.
Who also looks like he's in junior high. He doesn't have the Paul Rudd energy that we expect from Clueless. Maybe he's too old in that. But, like, when I think about college, I can't tell these fucking kids apart. I'm like, who's high school? Who's junior high? Who's kindergarten? Who's college? Who's Jeff Garland? I don't know. Is Jeff Garland just getting out of sixth grade? He might be.
Paul, this is like, I mean, you're turning into my father who could never recognize. When he watched The Departed, he's like, I don't know. They all looked exactly the same to me. I can't figure out which character is
by
which.
By the way, and I know Scorsese's listening. Your dad, not wrong, okay?
But it's like, Paul's really turning into
an old man. And by the way,
June,
I'm very excited for
McGee.
Oppenheimer. We're all be there, front row and center.
Congratulations.
Can I just quickly say, so please. I am the older brother is played by Sam Huntington,
yeah.
Who is an old friend of mine. We were on the hit show, probably the highlight of his career was to be on the show Cavemen with me.
What year was that?
Of course. That's 2007.
Okay, so this is pre-Cavemen.
This is pre-Cavemen. And so I watched him and I was like, yeah, he's great.
He's funny.
He's great.
Oh,
he's doing his job.
Doing his job.
Mm-hmm. He's carrying the comic relief 100%.
Oh, the scene where he eats all the pizza with the dog, I was like, he's going for it.
He did great, and he did his work 100%. That's wonderful. I had more questions just about the character he was playing and his journey. So he's dropped out of college. His car's been some sort of gambling debt. Something, but no, Paul. Some financial disaster.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Napster. Hit him in. I don't know what he got involved in, but his car was repossessed in college.
Yep. Like, I mean, it seems like he wasn't even away for that long. He's a freshman in college, right? Or
something. He seems young. So, yeah, I don't think he was, like, well into college.
So he comes back home, and he's searching for cash desperately.
Oh, right. He wanted that cash.
And the reason why the ladies are able to kind of continue on in their adventures because they're cutting deals with him left and right. So now... His sister has cut a deal where she will pay him $50 a month for 3 months.
He pushes for six.
He pushes for six, but very smartly.
$150 is going to get him out of a hole?
She's negotiating hard with him.
But here's what's interesting about his journey. And that's why I do want to see a movie about Jane Lynch's Night. And I also want to see a movie about
this is like your
Sam
Citadel.
Huntington's Night.
The hit Amazon
please,
show.
Because
I would invest in a movie currently that checks in on all these characters.
Yes, because through the course of the night...
20 years later, the next sleepover, they're having kids.
This is so interesting, though, because he's just sort of a witness to all of this. I mean, he engages in the action a little bit when he gets her out of the situation with Steve Carell, but by the end of the night, he decides to go back to college.
Yeah, he's changed.
But why?
Because, I'm going to tell you why I have a thought about this. I actually did. It's in my timeline. Around 9:45, he realizes he can handle anything. He can make deals. He can dress up his friends to do a rendition of Spice Girl with wigs. Where did he get those
you
wigs?
You think that that was him,
though? Why do
girls
have wigs of their own hair at a sleepover?
See, Paul, they're I thought that wigs th- those the were the grandma's wigs. Because at one point, Jane Lynch threatens to leave Julie and not take her on the family trip to Hawaii and threatens to just leave her to brush out her grandma's wigs.
Okay, which we don't see. Now, but he does say this line... And
I'm
Jason
obsessed
may
with
have
that
this...
grandma, too, because it's not like she has a couple wigs of the same style.
No, no. It's she's like got a she broad... Yeah.
The grandma's out. The grandma might be out of that club,
she
too.
She was a real character, and I think the daughter is reminiscent, and Jane Lynch is caught in between.
Oh.
Being like, I see the spark.
Interesting.
The
she's
spice.
On a bridge of her own.
Yes, exactly.
Let's get Rita Moreno to finally be the grandma in the reboot. Have a great moment. I want to say one thing, though. This is the moment where I think he changes. I don't remember the exact line, but I remember he goes, oh, high school.
When he's eating the dog Play-Doh?
When he says food's changed? No, this is the moment when he goes, high school's all blank and blank, and college is all ribbons and lampshades. And the way he says it, I don't know what ribbons are, but I know lampshades are like that traditional thing, like, hey, I'm drunk at a party, I put a lampshade on. No. What is it?
Oh, he had been, the guest bedroom had turned into...
Oh, so the guest bedroom was... I thought he was saying, like, he went through some trauma with ribbons and lampshades. And I was like, this is the crux of this character. I didn't realize he was just commenting that his room was turned into his mom's sewing room. Oh.
Wait,
I thought
second.
I found something. I these
so
a
you
fucking...
thought lampshades were, like, an iconic college, like...
I thought he was saying, like, you go to college and it's all... ribbons and lampshades. I drank too much. I said too many things.
Oh, I thought it's like you win a war. Like either you're a standout student, you get ribbons
That's
for your acknowledgments, or you're a party monster
yes.
who wears lampshades
because no. yes.
you're the life the of a party. Shades.
So wait, just I know we're gonna go to the audience, Paul. I want to. So he's saying that college is ribbons and lampshades, but college isn't ribbons and lampshades. That's his home away from college because he's not in college.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think he's saying in failure, life is ribbons and lampshades. Like, you can't go back. Like, it's...
Oh.
Once you leave, you can't come back to life. Life is... Now his room is... A craft corner.
This is an 18-year-old. An 18-year-old is like, you can never go back home again.
Yeah. I thought he was referencing a Joni Mitchell song called Ribbons and Lampshades.
Guys, we were just in Seattle. We saw Joni Mitchell.
It was amazing.
I had a religious experience.
One of the best nights of my life.
It happened.
One of the best nights of my life.
Life.
My life.
My life.
We're doing great.
All right, let's go to the crowd here. Let's talk to you all. All right, so I'm going to ask you to tell me your name and one fun scavenger thing you could go get if you were on a sleepover scavenger hunt. All right, so what's your name?
Rick.
Rick, what's one fun thing you would do on a sleepover scavenger hunt?
She would go get the batter for the hot dogs that she works the hot dog and the stick.
Great. That's great. Oh. I like that.
Well-researched thing,
because she's making those Twinkies. All right, what's her question?
What possibly could have led to her friend telling her that she has good knees and a big brain?
Great. June?
Trust me, I was worried about that statement. I was thinking about that statement quite a bit. I think... It's because she's a skateboarder. And I think it's because, I hope it's because.
So it's not because. It's not like a great way to try to get a blowjob.
I was worried about that.
You got big knees and you give good head.
Yeah. This movie treads a fine line between being because it's the kids are so young. But they want to be making clearly like a John Hughes sex comedy in a way, but it's not. It's really uncomfortable.
They should have The Bridge. Like, I think they could have called this movie The Bridge.
The Bridge, yeah.
My favorite Joni Mitchell song.
All right, hey, what's your name?
Jose.
Jose, what is one fun thing you would do on a scavenger hunt with these girls?
Paul, what are you doing? You're asking an adult man what he would do with four 14-year-olds?
I'm making him play a character here.
We would steal something from Hot Topic or Grab.
That's a great answer.
And what time would you do that at? So I could put it on my calendar. your question.
So can we talk about the ticket girl at the dance?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
And how Julie essentially told her, you study too much and you play Monopoly with your parents. Can you just let me go
in? In four years, I will be you unless I get into this dance.
Okay,
first of all...
Her message is, you're lost. But help me not become you.
The craziest part, though, is the ticket booth woman...
Summer Glau.
Is the most beautiful woman in the movie. Is the most beautiful person in the movie.
And the first non-white person we have seen the entire film.
Oh, this is Charles Harlow level white.
She's absolutely breathtaking and seems quite lovely and composed and self-possessed. I'm like, why is she being taken down as a high school troll?
Not only that was the moment. She seems to be like, yes, I support you.
It was absurd.
Julie Quirky or...
Quirky.
Sorry. Quirky.
I will tell you that was the moment that I teared up. Because...
Aww.
Go on.
All right. Because I thought of this girl playing Monopoly with her family and not thinking there was anything wrong with it. And I was like, that's so cute and so nice. And I want my kids to play Monopoly with me when they get older.
They will.
And it was a moment I was like, and why is that being shit on? Like, that she has a good relationship with her parents. I would hope that my kids would have a good relationship with me.
Oh, my God.
And I really...
I blame Joni Mitchell for, like, the experience, the way we, the three of us, experienced this movie. Ugh. Because we're not emotionally sort of...
No, I'm shattered.
Together. Yeah, we are dysregulated.
She played Amelia, and I... unravel.
And so our reading of this movie is off.
But I love that Paul's emotional connection to the movie was board games.
I totally hear you.
Because I did spend many Friday nights playing board games and Rummy Cube and
oh yeah,
games with my parents. And I felt that too. Like that.
Thank you, June.
Of course. I felt that too. And I think it's cool to play games with your parents.
Your kids are like, no, thank you.
But I couldn't help but feel bad for that girl because I felt like what Julie was saying was, you blew it. It's all lost. All hope is lost for you. But there is hope for me.
And by the way, what dance makes a current student... a senior work the door. It's like, all right, so I'll work the door. Anyway, she works that door till midnight. Oh, my God. All right. Hi, what's your name?
My name is Bridget.
Bridget, welcome. And what's a fun thing you would do with these girls on a scavenger hunt?
Schedule permitting, perhaps go to another Old Navy and get a great deal on some slacks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you could get
double
great
Old Navy.
Great.
Wow.
All right, now what is your question?
I would love to return to the Garland Lynch romance. I don't know that I've ever believed less in a marriage. And I felt at the end when they sort of shared a kiss, it was as if...
I didn't like that.
It was as if two sock puppets' mouths were being pressed together.
It was very uncomfortable.
Somehow more uncomfortable than a kiss shared between... two 14-year-olds.
I'll play the devil's advocate here. I found the moment when he was like, did you have fun at the club? And she's like, I did. I found that moving.
Wow.
He knew what she needed,
what
and
I
they
liked
were
about,
both getting what they needed out of their
what
marriage.
What I liked about that was that Julie overhears it, and she had previously thought that her dad didn't know what her mom was up to.
Yeah.
And that she had like she had something on her mom, but she realizes, oh, dad knew. And their relationship, they have an understanding. They know what's going on and they know each other.
This is the shocking thing about this movie. There are moments that are are really beautiful. Like I remember having those moments of like, oh, I'm no longer a child looking at my parents. I'm like a little bit older and seeing them with a new like sense of emotional intelligence, and they're people and I'm a person. And all of these crazy moments, and especially with her best friend who loves her, was a little bit more mature than her, and is go and she's worried she's gonna leave her. I think this is the best movie that's ever been made. I really, and it's sort of, here's what's weird. It's masked
it's the kind
in a
of
terrible movie,
movie
but there
Yancey
are moments.
Where Yancey can find an adult boyfriend.
Okay, justice for
he
Yancey.
Is a kid. Here's what I'll say.
He works at both the nightclub in town and the high school
dance. He said he needed to go to the other gig, Jason.
By the way, when he's at the other gig,
he works for a late night speaker delivery service, not a normal operating hour speaker delivery service.
Just to jump back to the speaker boy and Yancey, I loved. But and the moment in the dance when Steve on stage says into the mic, Julie? Julie Corky? I was like, what?
I felt the same.
Steve chooses Julie? I was full of
the same.
Joni level emotions.
Me too. Me too.
Sobbing alone in my house, 50 years old, at the possible fingering of a 14-year-old. Help me. I think I'm falling in love again. Come on.
But I gotta
solid
say,
joke.
I also have to say that when I think I was in that the Joni headspace, because Joni did cover Freeze Frame at the Joni Jam. Freeze Frame. Freeze Frame. It was great. It was a beautiful song. She's really into it. Sir, what's your name?
My name is Colton.
Colton, and what's a fun thing you might do with these young girls on a sleepover?
I'd go find some brownie batter.
Find some brownie batter. I like that. Okay, what's your question?
More of an observation my brother noticed when they were doing the final race to the high school at the end. The car that they're driving is kind of like a tortoise-shaped green car, and the popular girl is driving like a silver kind of hair car. So he was going for the metaphor of like the tortoise and the hare kind of thing. Like, you know, take things slow, you'll win in the end. Take life slow, enjoy your friendships, enjoy your time.
Enjoy your time on the bridge.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
best comment
I'm
of the
sorry.
Night.
And did you and you watch and you watched the movie with your brother?
It's over there.
That's really beautiful. Do you guys stay home and play board games with your parents?
Nothing wrong with that.
No,
I
it's
love
beautiful.
That
people process this show as a family, like Fast and Furious.
Out
I will
on
say,
VOD.
Though, there were some jokes. Credit to the writer. There were some jokes in this movie that genuinely made me laugh. When Yancey's talking to the moving, the speaker moving
boy?
Guy, speaker boy, and he says something like, "Do you?" What do you mean guys don't talk to you? And she says, well, usually guys just ask me to hold the door open for them. I laughed so hard. I thought it's the funniest thing I've ever heard. And when Julie's talking to her teacher in her sunglasses and she laughs, and then he said, oh, I recognize that laugh. And she says, I'm just trying on.
That was a funny bit.
Yeah, and he goes, I'm just trying on different laughs.
Yeah, and then she
That's
does
not
a
my
different
laugh.
One.
I laughed so hard.
She does
hard.
A different laugh, but and then, it's like, what do you think of that?
It's really funny.
But then it comes back at the end. He's like, I like your laugh.
Yeah. Can I ask one question?
I also thought, to that point, when, and we've already talked about it, so forgive me, but when SpongeBob says to Stacy, apropos of nothing, do you want to see a picture of me in a coma? And she says yes, and he produces it, also very funny.
Very funny.
Like, this movie has jokes
very
that were funny.
Very funny.
And the funniest, the moment that I laughed the hardest and rewound and watched again and laughed again was the end, the last moment when the janitor dumps a trash can.
That was a great
basically
moment.
Onto Stacy.
I wrote that down. Great ending.
I loved it.
By the way, Bree makes a very bold choice in not acknowledging
yes.
the dumping of the garbage yeah. right on top of yeah. her and her friends.
Yeah, she's like, this is what I signed up for.
She took the punishment. She understood the assignment.
I think there was a part of her I read in that moment of like, no, this is where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
Like, there was a resolve.
Well, I will tell you this much as well. What I loved about that final scene was Stacy was eating out of an old-fashioned 1940s lunch pail. Like, that like girl...
She's on, like, an I-beam.
A girder.
Yes.
High above the city. I will say the one thing I want to ask before we get into the next part of the show here is at one point she goes, did you do everything? Brown the fridge? Paint your toenails? Deface the website? What website were they defacing? So is it Liz's site?
Yeah, it's this. Yeah.
So, but it's her own site?
Now, who's Liz?
Now, that's a great question.
Is
that's
Liz Brie Larson.
Brie Larson? Brie Larson is
oh,
Liz.
Oh, yes. Because she's been held back a year. That's why she can drive. That's Brie Larson's case.
I also laughed at another funny joke when they announced that she's been held back a year and she has her license and one of the girls said, lucky. I laughed.
By the way, she was held back a year, which means that she would be a freshman in high school. Not a time when you're driving.
Yeah, ever. No. This movie really wants to be a high school movie.
Yes.
And inexplicably, and to a degree that is chilling.
See, Jason, we might have very different experiences, but when I was in eighth grade heading into ninth grade, like, this movie wasn't shit compared to what I was up to.
Oh, agree.
So, I'm sorry, it wasn't. I found this to be tame.
I find this,
again. Wait, hold on. I want to hear more about June 8th and 9th.
What were you up to?
In 8th and 9th grade, I was taking my parents' car out. I mean, I was doing all the things that one might do. Drugs, all of it was being done
between 8th and 9th?
I was smoking pot, yeah.
Wow. Thought I knew you.
Yeah. Yes.
Thought I knew you.
Falsifying voter information.
All of it. I'm saying all of it.
Putting your pants on a mannequin's body. Pretending to be a mannequin.
Pretending to be a swimsuit model to date your teacher.
Well, look, obviously we have opinions about what June did between 8th and 9th grade. And if this movie is a beautiful work of art. But the truth is, there are other people out there with different opinions. It's now time for second opinions. Please welcome Tim.
Sometime for a teenager, girls will bloom. Jeff Garland loves water more than his daughter. Jane Lynch helps her lock her room. Somewhere high school dances start at 10. Steve Carell is all over town. His airbag explodes again. Yeah. If Julie finds an awesome guy who hops a fountain, why, oh, why can't I?
Give it up for Tim! Tim wrote that
Tim
during
Tim,
the Tim, show.
Tim,
Tim, Tim, Tim, Tim, Tim, Tim, Tim, Tim, Tim, Tim, Tim, Tim. And stop. Great job, Tim. All right, this movie has 1,000 reviews. The first review is from...
1,000 reviews?
1,000 reviews, 82% are 5-star, 3% are 1-star. And this first one is titled, The Best Movie of the 2000s, Possibly of My Life. Sleepover has many themes. I think individuals of all ages can find it entertaining and relate to it. It includes a wacky sleepover, a touching mother-daughter moment, lessons about sibling loyalty, financial negotiation, the power of female friendship, questionable romance, and a cute dog. Overall, I would feel comfortable showing this to my kids at a sleepover of their own and might even watch it myself from time to time. 5-star, hands down.
I mean, I kind of agree with that review.
Well, the only thing doesn't track for me is that the person's like, this is probably the best movie of the 2000s, the last 25 years. I might watch it again.
This one is written in all caps. When I was a teenager, I could relate to this movie rather well. I always had friends sleeping over and was sneaking away from the parents. I think all teenagers do. This movie was great. It was funny, daring, and a young crowd made like an older crowd. These girls have real talent, and I wish them the best of luck with acting. 5 out of 5 stars. The title is great for teens. It was written by Tiffany M. Fitzpatrick. This one by Grace Rainey says this: everything about this movie made me the happiest I've ever been. 5 stars.
Wow, the happiest they've ever been?
This one says this: a pure joy, a comedy ahead of its time. Title: you must watch this movie. 5 stars. But the best one, it's a 5-star review. It says Evan Peters is 10 out of 10 amazing. And the review goes like this: Evan Peters, 5 stars. Now, I just will share with you this, because Molly did some amazing research here. And she found a website, like a parental warning website, about this movie. Like, it's from screenit.com. So it tells parents, you know, things that they should watch out for. And I highlighted a couple of them. Tense family scenes. Julie isn't happy with her mom being overbearing. She thinks she is, while mom is suspicious of what Julie and her friends are up to, leading to some smart aleck remarks from Julie to her mom.
Smart aleck remarks.
Is that the review is written by Jay Mantzoukas?
This is where it says this. This is the biggest section. Imitative behavior. Kids may want to have their own version of this adventure. On the last day of school, we see middle schoolers run into the hallways, throw papers everywhere, and one of them sprays silly string at a teacher. Steve jumps over a fountain. The girls retrieve a bra from the freezer as part of their slumber party. We never see what's done with it. Hannah has a midriff revealing top. You do not want your kids to imitate anything like that. The movie in other countries is called Sleeping Away from Home, Suddenly in Love, Last Day of Classes, and Revenge in Pajamas.
Whoa, that's a movie I want to see.
That is the Canadian title of that movie.
I don't know when anybody's in pajamas in this movie.
Vengeance in Pajama. So, final thoughts, parting thoughts, would you recommend
it? My final thoughts. I would recommend this movie, if only to get to that last scene between our young actress and Jane Lynch, because I just want to say one other thing about that lock. Because I'm going to remember that lock when we get to this age of parenting, because it was such a beautiful gesture of like, oh, I'm giving you something to literally secure our attachment and to make sure that you know I'm okay with you being secure away from me so that I can actually be closer to you and you can feel closer to me. It was the most beautiful way to express that.
I don't want to give my kids a lock, though, because...
I know you don't want to, but
because I use their bathroom. And if I can't use that bathroom and I can't use my own bathroom...
Wait, are you shitting in your kids' bathroom?
I gotta go somewhere.
And then blaming it on them?
Who didn't flush?
My bathroom stinks. You did that.
I almost brought our child in to watch this. I was like, you know what? He's home. He's taking a gap week between school and camp. And I was like, let's watch this together. I'm so happy I did not.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm taking a gap week.
This, I will say, as a kid this age, this is the exact kind of movie that if I was, you know, a tween kid and I saw this movie, I would have been obsessed with it.
Obsessed
with it in the way that I was obsessed with the John Hughes movies.
Yeah.
But this is John Hughesian,
yeah,
just skewed younger.
Well, and also it was hard to know where I would have fallen. Like, I definitely wasn't in the Brie Larson group.
Oh, but I'm Coma Kid all the way.
But See, I don't even know if I'm
he's
in...
He's the Ducky of this universe, and I'm all in on Ducky.
I don't even know if my group falls into, like, Julie Quirky. I'm like where Yancey would have gone had she not received the invite. And no, it's okay. It's a great time over there. This isn't bad news. But I just don't think that I would have been with Julie and her friends. I would have been one level under.
Were you not a soccer sporto at this time?
At this time, I was more of like a theater kid. So maybe I would have met Julie there. But I do feel I was still a little bit away from Julie and the gals.
So you think Julie and the gals were aspirational, or Julie and the gals were... You were ahead of them, but not in the Stacey Liz category.
You
were in between?
I guess where I was with Yancey. Had Yancey, again, not received that invite? Because what I feel confident about in my group of girls with Yancey was that we wouldn't have gone to another sleepover.
I see.
That's the difference.
Were you friends with Yancey?
I wish.
I was not present in this movie.
You weren't represented.
The last day of school, I decided I was going to have a party at my house. I just told everyone to come. I lived on a dead end road, and everyone came and caused a very big traffic jam as everyone drove up the block, but then couldn't turn around and get out.
No.
And so, first of all, the 200 people that showed up to my house, that was an issue. But The traffic jam.
That's amazing that everyone came. That's incredible.
It was a fun... I don't even know. Well, it was something. It was a lot of anger from the neighbors because they were all trapped in their houses. It was a literal line of cars that had nowhere to turn. And yeah, it was a tricky night.
Because then they all finally get out of there, and then it's like, now we got to go pick them up.
Well, yeah, that was all. Well, they see a lot of kids just started getting out of their cars and coming into my house, and then I had to spend a lot of time talking to the neighbors and going, who has a Ford Festiva, a red Ford Festiva? I had to find cars, but that car was stuck in them. It was very difficult.
Wait, were you the valet at your own party?
Well, my mom was like, you've gotten yourself into this mess, you gotta get out. So it was just trying to like play Tetris all night. But I think my mom let us drink beer.
Save it for the book. Incredible stuff. That's wild.
That's middle school. It's all trap. But at the end of the day, it's ribbons and lampshades.
Thank you all for coming out tonight.
That is all for today's show. A big thank you to Nick Kroll. People, we love doing these shows, and we're taking them to the East Coast. Head on out to the East Coast to check us out this summer. Just go to hdtgm.com to find out all of our touring dates. And New Jersey, I'm looking at you because we are actually going to do a partnership with the Smod Castle. That's right. We're going to air the movie that we're going to be doing in New Jersey at the Smod Castle Cinema the night before or a couple days before. We're figuring it out. Anyway, go to hdtgm.com, buy your tickets now. Shows are very close to selling out, like literally tickets away. So I can't tell you enough to head on over there. And if you're heading out on the internet, why don't you head on over to tpublic.com? tpublic.com, where we have some amazing merch, new merch, different show shirts. We don't have a show shirt for this one. We felt like my description shirt, the one about Old Navy, would have been just too weird and random. Anyway, we can always change that if you really want it. And remember, your voice is important. If you have a correction or a mission about the movie Sleepover, call me at 619-PAUL-ASK. That's 619-PAUL-ASK, or write in on our Discord, and we may use your comment in next week's Last Looks episode. A big thank you to our producers, Scott Sani, Molly Reynolds, and our movie-picking producer, Avril Halley, and our engineer, Casey Hulford. We'll see you next week for Last Looks. Bye for now.